$635 billion. That's the estimated size of the worldwide online gambling market by the year 2020. But how much is actually legal and sustainable? My guest today helps bookmakers expand their legal online business into new markets worldwide, safely. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Giovanna Disposito was born and raised in Italy. After graduating from college with a degree in mechanical engineering, she worked in the Rome offices of Procter & Gamble and Altron. Giovanna then earned an MBA and moved to London to do international business development, using her skills to help companies break into foreign markets. Then Lady Luck called, and Giovanna was hired by the number one global online gambling company, Paddy Power Betfair, becoming managing director of the company's new Italian division. After her success at Paddy Power, Skybet, which in 2014 was valued at over $1 billion, asked her to set up their new Italian division, which she's been leading ever since. Giovanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
You're born here in Rome?
I was born in Sorrento, which is in the south of Italy, 48 years ago. And I can't tell you that, you know, when I was a child or a teenager, I dreamt of being, you know, a managing director in company A or B. I didn't have those sort of dreams because our life was quite contained and business didn't mean anything other than owning a shop down the road. If you're a woman, everything has been written for you in your early 20s. You know, you get married, you have children, and you look after them. And I just couldn't subscribe to the script. And so all the choices that I made, which actually led me where I am now, originated from, I need to do something different, not what, you know, has been decided for me. So I chose to go to mechanical engineering university simply because I was told that being an engineer was the most certain way of finding a job. Because what I wanted was to find a job and be financially independent so that I could decide what to do. And sure enough, 6 months before graduating, I actually had a job.
How did you go from the engineering side to the business side?
After a few years at Procter & Gamble, I got bored because it was factory work. I was supervising a couple of different production lines, and I got an MBA. So I ended up at INSEAD again, quite randomly. And from there, I moved to London.
So how did you flex your business wings after leaving INSEAD?
First, I went on to be a consultant. I went to work for an American company, but had a few offices in Europe as well, called Kurt Salmon Associates. So I did that not for very long, for 2.5 years. And then a company found me, Capital One. And that was when I started getting a passion for things that I do now, because Capital One called me for an international expansion project. They were starting the Italian business. And so they were looking for people who out of London could help do that. So that was my first experience of proper international expansion. But from that point onwards, actually most of what I've been doing has been exactly that. So taking a business that already exists somewhere and finding ways of exporting it to a different country, different culture, different rules, different, you know, ways of doing things. Then I started working as a freelance consultant. I did a few things there that took me, as opposed to the digital world, which is what I do now.
You didn't just go into the digital world, you went into digital gambling.
So gambling found me in 2011 when I was at that point looking for a proper job. So I had done my few years as a freelance consultant. I was missing a sense of belonging to, you know, and a proper identity and be part of something that you want to build with a team. And I was in London at that point. I was crossing Regent's Park and walking to this office of this company that I'd been discussing with for like 4 months, different roles, and finally agreed on one. This was an online consumer lending company. And I was going to sign this contract that was actually taking the company internationally to Australia and Canada. And as I was walking there, I got this call from a friend who said, I know you're going to sign this thing, just don't trust me. So I didn't sign that because I was curious. And then I get this call from this Irish gentleman who explains to me that he's the COO of a big gambling company called Paddy Power, who is contemplating for the first time taking its brand internationally, and it's thinking about Italy. And they wanted to talk to me. 2 days later, I flew to Dublin. I went to see them. I had 8 interviews in a row, met the entire, you know, management committee. And 2 days later, I had a contract. It just happened like that.
Where do you see the future of the industry with online gambling as it relates to cross-border issues and regulatory issues? Is it getting harder? Is it getting easier? Where's it going?
Italian regulations are actually quite distinctive. I think they might be unique in the world, certainly in Europe. So if you are a licensed gambling operator in Italy, there is no cross-border issue. And that is because the regulations are particularly tight and you can only gamble online in this country if you are the owner of a fiscal code, which is like your national security number, except it's in Italy. So if you do not live in Italy, if you're not resident in this country, it's impossible for you to gamble on a licensed site. Obviously, there's the illegal world, which is a different story. But when it comes to proper legal gambling, then it's quite tightly regulated and controlled. And because everything that happens on, let's say, my company's website is mirrored, so our systems, our technical systems, are linked into the regulator. So whatever happens on our site, the regulator sees it and has to approve it.
Did you have any qualms about heading into something such as gambling, considered by some to be a sin business?
I don't have problem with the concept of sin because in my view, it's a form of entertainment. But just like I love going to the movies and the theaters, you know, people get a shot of adrenaline when they're watching their football match, betting on who's going to score the next goal. It is a form of entertainment. I don't see it as sin. However, when I got a call about the gambling business, I was obviously very interested that everything will be perfectly legal, which it was, because it's a very reputable, massive global brand. My other personal choice was not to be involved with retail gambling. So I wanted to make sure that this was a purely online operation. And that's because, first of all, personally, I don't have much competence and interest in retail, terrestrial retail per se. And secondly, because I feared that, especially in certain parts of the country, a gambling shop might expose the business to other type of activities, which I did not want to risk.
So here you are, you hadn't run a team, you hadn't run a company, you certainly hadn't done a startup, right? And now you've got this company with all of these people. And what was the biggest surprise that you got all of a sudden when you started to manage people?
That people are motivated by purpose much more than they are motivated by status or compensation or the traditional ways of doing things. And I think there's a lot to say about millennials being motivated in a way that my generation wasn't.
Giovanna, it's time for our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I am.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Why are you here?
Name 3 of your personal core values.
Integrity, courage, excellence.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
A former housemate of mine from INSEAD, who was also the person that I worked for in one of the digital businesses.
And what did you learn from this person?
To be true to yourself and never being afraid of showing your true colors to your team.
What is your favorite business book?
The latest collection I read from the Harvard Business Review, which is called Managing Yourself.
What are you reading right now?
An Italian book. It's called La Vergine Napoletana, The Neapolitan Virgin.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
The power of why.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Being motivated by ego.
Name 1 daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Always ask why we're sitting in a meeting, why we're doing that report, why we're doing a task.
Name 1 trait that makes an employee valuable.
When they focus on the deliverables, not the tasks.
What's your strangest daily habit?
Having to make myself a cup of green tea before getting into any meeting.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Never miss an opportunity to give feedback.
We certainly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing so much context with us today. Thank you so much, Giovanna.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's been fun.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Dan Price, famous for setting a $75,000 minimum salary in his company. Dan will tell us how to calculate the real cost of paying employees. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.